CliffCentral.com.
Now, I've been throwing forward to this and promising you this for the whole week, but wow. I mean, it doesn't seem like the introduction to this part of the show changes week to week. But Sean Saunders, there's some serious news this week. And it looks like, for the first time, you know, according to all the cynics even, that thanks to people like Elon Musk taking an interest in Bitcoin, and Elon Musk is not just taking an interest in Bitcoin, Elon Musk is obsessed with Bitcoin at the moment. So, Sean, there's so much to get into here. Where do we start? Let's give Elon Musk some credit here. He changed his biography to Bitcoin on social media. Now he apparently says the word Bitcoin while he's having sex. He's obsessed with this. He moved $1.5 billion of Tesla's balance sheet net worth capital into Bitcoin. So is this the final thing that will make Bitcoin mainstream?
Yeah, Gareth, this is the biggest news that's happened in crypto since crypto began, really. I mean, you've got the sixth biggest company in the entire world go and put $1.5 billion from their balance sheet. And instead of holding that in dollars or going and putting that money into gold, they're putting that into Bitcoin. This is huge news. And, you know, this comes after MicroStrategy, which is another NASDAQ listed company. They invested $1.1 billion in Bitcoin. You've got now speculation that Twitter and General Motors, two other really big companies, mm-hmm. are going to be putting money into Bitcoin and putting some of their balance sheet into Bitcoin. So now this has sort of been the first domino. And I mean, we've spoken on the show before about, you know, you've had Yale, you've had Harvard, and you've had Brown's endowment funds invest in Bitcoin. You've had Fidelity, PayPal. I mean, even Facebook's tried to get in on the game over the last few years. And it's just, you know, the corporates are now moving into the space. I think the next big opportunity really is, sure, there's going to be a lot more money entering the space from corporates. But if you're looking at central banks, I mean, you've got the central bank of Iran being the only central bank in the world currently that we know of that owns Bitcoin. And I think there's a very big opportunity if the central banks do decide to allocate, just in the same way as these corporates are allocating Bitcoin to their balance sheets, but go and decide, right, we want to buy some Bitcoin, because there's not that much Bitcoin in circulation right now.
So, Sean, first of all, it hit a new high of like almost $50,000 of Bitcoin at the beginning of this week, which was quite extraordinary. It's come down a little bit since then. It's hovering around $44,000 now. Do you think it's ever going to drop back below 30, or do you think that this is a new bottom for the market, because all of this excitement and all of this real world channeling of money into crypto is obviously going to have a prolonged effect, and it's probably highly unlikely, and I'm just speculating here, highly unlikely that it's ever going to be played with in the, you know, the $20,000-$30,000 range again.
Well, I think the thing is, we don't really know, right? So you could have the US government, or you could have some other big central bank sort of, you know, step up and say, right, I'm not interested, or we're not interested in, you know, dealing with cryptocurrencies anymore, and sort of play the India card. So what India has done is they've banned cryptocurrencies outright.
Wow.
And there's been lobbying groups. There's been a whole bunch of different sort of, you know, movements and pushback from various organizations, but they've decided to ban it. Now, you know, I think I've said this on the show a few times as well, but we don't know what the future holds, right? So let's, you know, have the humility just to say there is the percentage probability that this market could pull back, and it could pull back a fair amount.
But
do I see it pulling back in my personal capacity?
Well, yeah. Answer that question first.
Yeah, my personal capacity, not in the near term. I mean, I can tell you at Revex, we are seeing record signups. You're seeing a lot more money enter the space. I mean, this is now sitting on the other side of the aisle, sort of seeing people, you know, enter the platform, enter crypto for the first time. So that's a lot of retail investor interest. And now you're hearing rumors that, you know, Microsoft may accept Bitcoin as a means of payment for its services. That's another huge avenue. Just now you have Amazon turn around and say, right, no, we accept Bitcoin as well. All of a sudden you've legitimized this, you know, dark web cryptocurrency that was sort of in this, you know, not so necessarily like legal light. And now it's moved into the legal space.
So, Sean, you just made me think, when you were talking about India and the case there, is that the worst case scenario for cryptocurrencies, where governments actually turn against the crypto market and ban it outright, where large international banks decide then they're absolutely not going to hold that in any way, shape or form? Is that the worst case scenario, or are there even worse things that could happen to crypto?
I think realistically, that's the worst case scenario. Okay. Don't get me wrong. You could have quantum computing move ahead, and all of a sudden, you know, You could have people doing things with blockchains that have never been done before. Right. I think that's a little bit far-fetched. But I think if you had to think about a post office right now, you know, imagine a post office going and setting up a sort of computer room that allowed you to go on and send emails back in like the late 90s or early 2000s.
Sure.
I mean, that would just be a bit weird, right? So banks are definitely going to push back against this. I remember crypto as an asset class really disintermediates banks. It removes the middlemen. It removes the insurance brokers. It's really breaking apart the financial system as we know it today. For there not to be pushback from regulatory authorities or from, you know, banks in general would be quite weird. So I do suspect that over the coming years, you're going to see a lot of pushback from that industry.
Okay, so what was driving all of that interest on Monday? Was it just Tesla and what happened with Tesla?
Predominantly what happened with Tesla. I mean, that's now sparked, you know, this sort of question across corporate America of, you know, should I as a company put some of my balance sheet into Bitcoin or some of my cash reserves into Bitcoin? You know, even smaller companies, you know, such as Revix, or let's say, you know, as Cliff Central is a company as well, you could say, well, instead of us holding rands, let's go own some Bitcoin. And that decision now is playing out across the world. And you're looking at hundreds of thousands of different companies and individuals that are sort of reevaluating this asset class. So it is really big news. I think the momentum has just been incredible starting out in 2021. And I think if it continues this way, I mean, you could easily be looking at $100,000 Bitcoin. And that doesn't seem too far-fetched, right? I mean, Bitcoin currently only has a market cap of about $865 billion, sure, which is ironically now a little bit more than Tesla, which is, I thought, quite funny, given that Elon Musk's investment into Bitcoin actually accelerated its growth. But I mean, if you were looking at Bitcoin moving to, say, be 10% of gold's market cap, I mean, you'd be looking at about a 1.5x increase from where we are today.
Unbelievable. All right. So tell us what you think the best course of action for the next few days is going to be, because people do get nervous when things start to climb or things start to decline very fast. And we know that this market is unstable. Tell us what everybody on the crypto intelligence networks is saying at the moment. What are people talking about? And where's Ethereum in all of this? Because we're talking about Bitcoin every week, but it really is about all the other cryptocurrencies as well.
Yeah, I think this is the big story, right? People hear about Bitcoin, they hear about Tesla moving into Bitcoin. I'm looking at the percentages here. You've had Cardano, which has been the top performing cryptocurrency over the last 12 months. It's increased 12,447% as things stand right now.
Sure.
You've got Polkadot, which is another top 10 cryptocurrency. That's increased 755%. You've had Chainlink increase about 700%, and then Ethereum's increased 693% over the last 12 months. Now, Bitcoin is up, as of today, about 311%. So you're looking at substantial increases amongst these other cryptocurrencies. And the reason, you know, so if you ask yourself why, it's, well, Bitcoin's getting all the limelight at the moment. You know, all the investor attention's on Bitcoin. What happens when this asset class develops a little bit further and all of a sudden these institutions and corporates and all the rest start looking at the alternative cryptocurrencies? And if you're looking at our bundles, I mean, this is sort of the reason why we created our crypto bundles, is that we're saying, you know, you don't just own a single cryptocurrency. I mean, maybe you're right with Bitcoin. Maybe you were lucky and you're owning Cardano. But the truth is, own a diversified portfolio and all of a sudden you start to benefit from the rise of all these different cryptocurrencies, which is really interesting.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, Ethereum is performing really well. Cardano has been the big success story, I think, more than any other.
Pums, I know you've probably got some questions because I always dominate the conversation with Sean every week. But I know you've had an interest in
cryptocurrencies.
I mean,
I'm just wondering, with all of this Bitcoin talk, if any of the other cryptocurrencies, very much like what happened with the dollar, where it became the standard, is there a likelihood that some of these other cryptocurrencies will kind of fold up into a Bitcoin type thing and Bitcoin then becomes the standard?
I think at the moment you sort of have Bitcoin as the dollar, if you want to call it that, if you have to compare it to fiat currencies, where it's the main cryptocurrency, just like the dollar is the main fiat currency. You do have the likes of Ethereum, you do have the likes of Cardano, you do have the likes of Chainlink. I mean, they're increasing in value. Remember, these were cryptocurrencies that weren't very well known, I mean, with the exception of Ethereum, but weren't very well known about 12 months ago. So you've sort of seen, let's call Cardano like the rise of China, or Ethereum as like the rise of China's yuan, right?
Right.
You're seeing this currency start dominating the space. I mean, will Bitcoin be the most valuable cryptocurrency over the next 2 or 3 years? Probably. But looking out further, I mean, if you're looking at the use cases of these different blockchains, versus Bitcoin. I mean, Bitcoin focuses on peer-to-peer transactions. So if I want to move money from or value from one person to another without any financial intermediary, that's sort of Bitcoin's niche. If you start looking at the likes of Cardano or Ethereum, I mean, their entire purpose is actually to enable other people to build applications on top of these blockchains so that you don't need to have any financial intermediaries. So they sort of become like the highways for applications, which are like the cars running on their networks. And that's where the use cases really got out of control, because that's like building the internet. And all of a sudden you realize that there's email, there's you know, all these different services that you can use on the internet. And I think that's a big opportunity.
Sean, one last thing, because we're running out of time here, but I noticed when I went onto Revex yesterday that you are releasing a brand new and upgraded investment dashboard. So tell us how that works and what's new.
Yeah, so this is super exciting. This is the biggest development at Revex since we launched. So our new investment dashboard is literally rebuilt from the ground up. Mm-hmm. We've got improved security. Our trade optimization has been refined, which means that when you execute a trade, you actually get better prices, both for buys and sells. We've got a really neat rewards program, the first rewards program in South Africa that actually rewards you in Bitcoin for performing smart investing actions. So if you make a repeat investment, you'll earn a little bit of Bitcoin. Wow. If you invite friends to join Revex, you'll earn some Bitcoin. So if you invite a friend to Revex today, you'll get 300 Rand in Revex points, and the person that you invite will get 200 Rand in their Revex account when they make their first investment. So we're giving away essentially 500 Rand every single time you make or you invite a friend successfully to Revex. And the other big news is that we're launching Ethereum. So in the next hour, we'll have the new platform up and Ethereum will be launched as a standalone investment option.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for the update. As always, good to check in with you. And thanks for clearing up some of those questions that we have about what's going on in the crypto world. You can find out more about crypto. You can also go and invest. You can take your first stake in this incredible and interesting new world of how economies might be managed in the future. And put a dog in the fight for yourself by going to revex.com. You can sign up. It's very, very easy to register today. CliffCentral.com.